All right, let's open our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Tonight I want us to talk about fellowship. Fellowship. Okay? And who all remembers the first years or days? Maybe some of you guys were saved at such a young age. Some of you probably don't remember, but I certainly remember my first love with Christ and so on. Who remembers when you were first saved? Thank you. Isn't it all new? Isn't it just you're experiencing a love and the joy and the peace like you've never have experienced before? And wow, Jesus is just, you're just so in love with Jesus. Isn't that the beauty, the essence of our relationship at first with Christ? And then comes the end of the honeymoon, as it were. You know, that's when you don't get the fields anymore. Who remembers the God fields? Every time a certain song played, you know, I remember back in the day it was, "You are Jehovah, He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, He is Jehovah." Remember that? "The God of Israel." And that just made me weep and my hands were up. And to me, that was the extent. That's all I ever wanted with Jesus. I just Jesus and me and that little bubble of delight, you know. And then we progressed and we found out that that's not going to last forever. For me, it lasted 6 months and that was it. You know, as the Righteous Brothers, I'm assuming it's the Righteous Brothers who sing, "You've lost that loving feeling," right? Well, I lost the loving feeling with Jesus, and because I didn't know much. I began to question if I had lost my salvation. I began to take my quote-unquote spiritual temperature. I began to wonder what had happened. You know, there was not, to be quite honest with you, there was not a lot of teaching back in the early 80s along these lines. It was, all you heard was, you know, either Jesus has all of you, or wait, Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Who remembers that? I don't believe that now. I'm 55. You know, Jesus is, I can say now at 55 that Jesus is Lord of more of my life than he ever has been, than when I was first 16 and I gave my life to the Lord. Who could say that? How many of y'all know that God doesn't just possess all of you when you get saved? What I mean by that is all of a sudden you don't become perfect in sanctification. The sanctification journey just has begun, right? So you don't arrive. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "I don't claim to have apprehended or taken hold of all that God has for me, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the high calling of God in Christ," right? We're pressing toward the mark. So I didn't believe that. But anyway, so we were just basically given one-liners. And with those one-liners, we were to kind of feel our way through this thing called a relationship with God. Now, you begin to learn a lot. And by the grace of God, you know, I've got to give God all the glory that God led me to a church that taught the Word of God. Who would agree with me tonight that not every church teaches all the Word of God? Amen? Just because they worship Jesus, just because they love God. I have learned along the line that there are people, Christians, who are sincere, but I have found out in almost 40 years of walking with Jesus that a lot of Christians can be sincerely wrong. Right? Brother, I'm sincere. Yeah, you're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong, son. Okay, so we feel our way. So I want us to bring something into focus. When I learned this truth on my journey with Jesus, everything came into unbelievable clarity. Who's ever had to go to the optometrist? Well, as I look out, I think we all have. And they put you in that little machine. They bring it down or bring it from the side, and then A or B? B is clear. A or B, which one is clear? Can you do it again? Click, 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 oh, B. Remember that? Well, this went for me, this reality in Scripture that we're going to look at tonight, it went from A, fuzzy, 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 to G, very, very clear. And after I gained clarity of this truth, it set me free to love Jesus in a new way than I had ever thought possible before. How many of y'all know that we can have breakthroughs like that in our relationship with God? Little breakthroughs, sometimes they're big breakthroughs that free us to love Him more than we possibly could imagine that we could. Amen? All right, so are you eager to learn this truth? All right, let's go. We've touched on it before, but I want to give it some time this evening. All right, let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. And we're going to read a couple of verses. Let's jump into verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no good gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I would like someone with an NIV to read verse 8, please. NIV is much better. Yes, sir, please.
He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a mouthful. Do we ourselves, in and of ourselves, keep ourselves strong to the end? No. Who is keeping us strong to the end? Jesus is. Right? That's the subject in this verse. Jesus will keep us strong to the end. Notice, so that at the end we could be what before God? Blameless. Who loves that promise? I don't think we hear enough of that preached today. It's more like that one line that's taken out of context in Matthew chapter 24 when Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, it's all on you, and they misinterpret that whole verse altogether. So they say, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, it's all on your shoulders. God has nothing to do with your perseverance as a Christian. How many of y'all know that God has everything to do with your perseverance? Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't he the Alpha, the beginning rather? Isn't he the Omega in our lives? He's the beginning, he's the end, right? So what he began, he will also complete. Now, I used to think in my walk that the Lord just basically gave me a jump start with spiritual booster cables on my spiritual battery, and the rest was up to me to keep it going. Boy, was I misled, wasn't I? Who believes that everything, every aspect of your relationship with God is all Him? I do. We're going to make a distinction tonight, okay? We've done it before. I want to refresh your memory about this. But this will bring great clarity into our walk with the Lord. Okay? So He is able to keep us strong to the end. Notice verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, notice, if we want to get one word for verse 8, He is able to keep us strong to the end, that would be called relationship. Relationship. So let me quote you a verse, John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father first draws Him." So let me ask this question. Who began our relationship with Him? Did we begin that relationship? That's not what Jesus said. He said, "No one can come to me unless the Father." So who took the first step of courting us, as it were, spiritually? God did. Right? baby, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, ain't nobody's going to get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul the Apostle made it very clear. He said, no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. So God initiates this thing that we will call relationship. And he who begin it is going to do what, church family? He's going to finish it, right? He's going to keep us blameless to the very end. Notice, it also says here that he calls us in this relationship. Not only does he begin it, he will keep us strong to the end. He will finish that. All right, we'll keep that in mind. So let's look at relationship. Let's look at, who would like to read verse 30 loudly, please, of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just go down several verses, verse 30. Just to, once again, conclude, put an exclamation mark to the point that God began our relationship. That it's on God. Who would like to read verse 30?
God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin.
Very good. Do you notice God united us? Christ set us free. What is, who's the one party that created relationship between us and him? Who's the one party? Can I quote it the way the King James Version says it, or the NIV? It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Is that the way it reads, Brother John Bob, in the NIV?
NIV says it's because of him.
It's because of him.
That you are in Christ Jesus.
Okay. God the Father, exactly. So, once again, let me ask you this easy open book question. Who began our relationship? Who effected a relationship between us and him? God did. All when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, I repent of my sins, forgive me, I give you my life as my Lord and my Savior, all I was doing was merely responding. Right? The other day, I was, I don't know if it was social media or a magazine that I was paging through, and there was a photograph of a lady taking a knee and had a little ring box open, and she was proposing to a man. And I thought, we've come a long way, baby. And, you know, it is what it is. When I proposed to Cindy, or when your man proposed to you, ladies, who initiated that next level of relationship with you? Who initiated? Your man, right? Right? Unless you ladies were dogging him. Are you going to put a ring on it? Are you going to put a ring on it? Are you going to put a ring on it? So God, the point is, God created our relationship with him. We merely responded. We merely said yes to Jesus, right? Okay, very important. Now, notice verse 9. God has called us into what? Fellowship. With whom? With his son, Jesus. Can I say here that, you know, I have... Can you... Do we understand the difference between relationship and fellowship? There's a vast difference. We should never confuse those. Because in two different verses, Paul the Apostle makes a distinction between relationship that God, the relationship part is on God's shoulders, right? Notice, and then the next verse he talks about fellowship. The fellowship, believe it or not, is on our shoulders. Right? God created a relationship, and God, the same God, wants for us to use our privilege to engage him in fellowship. Right? Do you see that? See the difference? You know, I believe we're going to see a lot of Christians in heaven that had the relationship, they were saved, but boy, their life here on earth, on their way to heaven, was just as bumpy and horrible. Who's ever flown to Hawaii from here? Have you guys flown back from Hawaii to San Francisco? That's a red-eye flight. Have you, Brother John Bob? It is boom, 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 boom. And you know me, I was, well, At that point, I hadn't really conquered fear in my life, and I was like white knuckling it. And there's this Hawaiian Filipino lady sitting next to me, and she's drinking her whiskey, and she's just all jolly. Her feet wouldn't even touch the floor. She was sitting on her chair. Her feet couldn't reach the floor as she was sitting, and she's laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Don't worry, she said. It's just like driving a speed bump on the ground. Boom, boom. And I wanted to, I said, but we're 40,000 feet above sea level. We got there safely. But, you know, I wonder how many people, how many Christians, listen carefully, church family, how many Christians experience to heaven from this life to heaven on their journey with Christ is just boom, boom, turbulent, turbulent, turbulent. Never a smooth flight. Why? And I'm not suggesting that the Christian life is all about a smooth flight, because it's not. But why would it be that? Because they had the relationship, but they never took advantage of fellowshipping with God. Who would agree with me on that? Amen? They never accessed. They never took time. How many of us believe that we have to carve out time? We have to deliberately make time for the Lord. It's not going to present itself. We have to discipline ourselves daily. Open our Bibles to pray, to fellowship with other believers, right? That keeps us strong. Let me say a word about that. You know, fellowship with other believers is vitally, vitally important. I once heard it said that, you know, the way to keep a coal burning hot is to keep it in a bundle of burning hot coals. But the moment you remove or separate that one coal from that burning pile of hot coals, what happens to that one coal separated? We're a lot like those coals. We need each other. We got to have fellowship to keep our fire for Jesus burning. Can I get a collective amen? Amen? We got to have that. So fellowship with the Father is important. Now, let me say here, certain things can impact our fellowship with the Father. What about sin? Sin equals broken fellowship. Who believes that? Go with me to 1 John 1, please. Let's read verses 3 and 4 of 1 John 1. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, notice, that you also may have what with us? Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with whom? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be made what? May be full. When is our joy full? When we engage God the Father and God the Son in fellowship and with whom others? With other believers, right? Isn't that what he started off saying? He said, we wrote these things, we have seen and heard, declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, together with us, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, go with me to chapter 2, please. Verse 1. Who would like to read verse 1 of chapter 2, please?
I will.
Okay.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
There you go. So there's a cure for broken fellowship, right? Right? God's will is that we not sin. But He makes provision because God knows that we are but flesh, right? To quote a psalm, we are but flesh and we will miss the mark. And He says, but if any does sin, we have an advocate, we have one, Jesus Christ, who pleads His case with the Father, and He's the righteous one. He takes our case with the Father. You know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan accuses believers in the presence of God 24/7. He's accusing, oh, look, God, what they did. And you call them Father. You call them your children. You say that's a daughter of yours. You say that's a son of yours. Look how they messed up. And as Satan is hurling those accusations, Jesus said, objection, Your Honor. That has been dealt with on my account. The Father just brushes away the accusations of Satan. Amen? It's a very, like a courtroom scenario. So sin can break our fellowship. Let me ask you a hard question. Can sin break our relationship? Who would say yes? Who would say no? What did Paul say? Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Not angels, not demons, not the things present, not the things to come. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can break that relationship. Well, Pastor Joe, what about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Why do people that teach it always go like this? And they move their belt buckle around. Pastor, will be done here at your disposal, at your service. You bunch of sinners, I'm going to shoot it straight because the anointment of God is on my shoulders right now. Shika ba 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 ba. Sorry, no. Who's ever heard those types? The anointment, not the anointing, it's the anointment. Whatever the heck that is. And so they say that you can lose your salvation. Truly, church family. Can we deal with that head on while we're on this point? What did Jesus say? No man can snatch them out of my hand. And then he went on to say, no man can snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 10, right? I think it's verses 29, 28, 29, 30. Do we believe that? But, you know, I always hear that objection. No, Pastor Joe, no one can snatch us out, but I can choose to jump out of his hand. Well, you know, baby, if you want to jump out of the Lord's hand, it really makes me question whether you were saved to begin with. You know, I've been brought to points in my relationship with God, in my journey. Not unlike Peter, when, you know, when Jesus had all those disciples. They were disciples, not the 12. They were disciples, turned their backs on him and left because they became offended at his sayings. Remember John chapter 6? And what did Jesus do? He turned to his own 12 and he asked them, do you guys want to leave too? And I love Peter's response because I've had to say that to the Lord many times. Lord, where would we turn to? Where would we go? You have the words of life. Right? Let's look at that. Go with me to John chapter 6. Everybody good so far? John chapter 6. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? I love this. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many of you believe, church family, with me, that once you come to realize that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of the living God, as Jesus Himself said, you will thirst no more. What else are you going to go to? Who else has the words of life? Who else has died to pay for your sins? No one. So I'm really suspect of people that say, well, Pastor Joe, I can jump out of his hand. No, you cannot. Well, how can you say that, Joe? Pastor Joe, I've got free will. Can we address the free will thing? You know, yes, we have the ability to choose. But church family, how many of y'all know? I want to talk about it. You know, sometimes I give you new nuggets, perhaps. Well, I know for a fact that I've never shared with you. Maybe somebody else has, which is awesome. Martin Luther, the great reformer, had a title. He wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will. What does Romans chapter 6 verse say? That to whomever you yield your members to, you are their slaves, right? Didn't he say that? You become their slaves, whether slaves to righteousness or slaves to unrighteousness. Turn with me to Romans 6, please. There were only three people that ever lived that had, listen carefully, I'll let you get to Romans 6, because this statement's pretty profound. Romans 6, let's read the scripture. One second, should be here. Where are these verses? I know I don't dream them up. There we go. Verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And notice verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether it's sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Listen, we don't have free will. We have the ability to choose right and wrong, yes. But listen, the way I understand free will is this, that I am morally perfect. I am morally perfect, and I can choose to continue doing good, morally perfect, or I can choose to do evil. There have only been three people that had that ability. Jesus, Adam, Eve, who had free will in the truest sense of the word. Right? All of us were born into sin. Who would agree with me that we were born slaves to sin? Right? We said it before. We're dirty, rotten little sinners. Now, here's the statement. Is that we do not possess that ability to be morally perfect and morally objective. We will always act out of a nature of sin as unbelievers or a nature of righteousness as true believers. Didn't Paul say that if you submit your members as instruments to righteousness, to obedience, it'll lead you to life, right? But if sin to disobedience will lead you to death, I'll tell you who the most miserable Christians are here on earth. Those that are struggling with sin, because deep down they know that is not your nature. You are living subpar of what the Lord has in store for you. See what I'm saying, church family? Listen, I believe that our relationship with God is, we are not morally objective people. We are either slaves to righteousness or we are slaves to sin. Did our relationship with God begin with our waking up and saying, oh, I think I'm going to give my life to the Lord? What did Jesus say? No one can come to me unless the Father first, key word, draws him. So even as we could not come to Christ, listen carefully, even as we could not come to Christ without God's work on our hearts, we cannot exit Christ because of God's work on our hearts. Didn't we just read that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, that he will keep us what to the end? He will keep us strong to the end, right? Isn't that the NIV? So then why, when we talk about free will, we kick it around like a soccer ball in an open field, like it's something that we all have? No, listen, let's make a distinction tonight. We all have the ability to choose. None of us have free will. Jesus, Adam, Eve, that's it. They were the only ones who had absolute free will. Okay? Well, we just begin this lesson. We'll continue the fellowship part because that's how we explore new aspects of our relationship. That's where we plumb the depths. Listen carefully. That's how we truly get to know our Father God, and how we are free to love Him and serve Him at greater levels yet. Amen? Would you all agree with me that we serve the Lord at the level that we are intimate with Him in terms of our fellowship? You can never serve greater than your level of intimacy with the Lord. We can never do better or do more for the Lord beyond our level of intimacy with the Lord. Amen. All right. Good lesson? Some of you guys are still thinking, like, I'm still writing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for helping us understand your word, helping us to wrap our minds around these realities, Lord, that you have called us to a solid, fail-safe relationship with you, but you have also placed on us the responsibility of fellowship, Lord. Father, of plugging into you and our have that give and take with you, Father, in a very intimate level. We pray in the name of Jesus for this, for all of us, that we would increase in our fellowship, Lord. We would grow strong in our fellowship with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.